Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Nice job. And again, it was an exhibition, not a competition. No prizes. We have connected with Eric Smith, who is, of course, a professor of Tulane's at Tulane's Institute of Energy. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm fine. Sorry I'm late.
No worries. We had time to play a little game of who are you and have some fun. Let's talk about President Trump and Drill Baby Drill. He says, and I want to start with this, America will be a manufacturing nation. Once again, we have something no other manufacturing nation will ever have, the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on earth. And as soon as I heard him say this last week, I thought, well, I got to ask Professor Smith about that. Is that a true statement? Is it?
It is, okay. In terms of production, not in terms of reserves. But we do have a significant amount of oil and gas production. And I think with the change of administration, at least in the short term, you're going to see great improvements here in Louisiana, mostly because we'll be able to put in the pipelines and the additional infrastructure like new LNG export terminals that we really need to maintain our exports. As far as long term, I think perhaps the administration needs to think a little bit more about this tariff business, because there's not an economist on earth, maybe there's one, but most of the economists, like certainly the majority, think the tariffs are regressive. They basically reduce the potential for world trade. And then if you want to go really long term, you would say that reducing world trade has a tendency to create wars. So I guess I'd give him, a B-plus for the first week in office or whatever. But I think the short term is that we're going to get more of the stuff built that we've been trying to get built, and we'll get rid of the pauses on LNG and the rest of that stuff.
So when it comes to the tariffs, I think that could be just saber-rattling, right?
He's a transactional president, and he makes no bones about it. He would say the same thing, I think. And he wants, all of these long-term relationships we have, especially with our allies, never mind China, but, his view would be, why should you continue to pay all of the money for NATO and get nothing for it? So if you want us to pay for NATO, then buy more of our products.
So when it comes to production and capital investment as it relates to, like you said, LNG, and I know at some point I want to ask you about oil not being oil and what we refine in the gasoline here, but how anxious are oil companies going to be? How does the business work in terms of capital investment when you got maybe a policy that could change in 4 years again? That's what worries me, Professor, or concern.
We would look forward to a four-year time frame. I think the problem is when policy changes within 4 months after you've made an investment that's going to take 30 years to get repaid.
Well, but even after 4 years, if it's going to take 30 years, if...
That's right. It's only worse when it's shorter term. I think that there's a certain amount of investment that's going to go on anyway. And it's a little bit like if you go to the prior administration and you see all of the efforts they made to discourage oil and gas production and consumption, and worldwide, production increased and consumption increased. So, it's a little bit of a case of sort of a top-down management structure worldwide where people want, they have good intentions, they want to see air improvements and all the rest of it. And our air is some of the cleanest around, incidentally. But nevertheless, it's a top-down theory, and it hits people in their pocketbooks immediately, and they don't see the benefits until 20, 30 years from now. So they're not real happy with those restrictions, and that's I think, part of the reason why Trump became president.
So that's what I'm wondering about, though, in terms of capital investment when it comes to oil companies. Some of it's going to happen anyway, but how hesitant would they? Here's the deal, Professor. I don't know from beans, okay? I'm just a West Bank guy, but I would think if I'm in charge of one of these companies, like, okay, you're going to invest $100 million in this. Well, I don't know. Not if I can't use it in 4 years from now. If somebody gets in and I can't use it, how immune is capital investment from something like that? Or how demoralizing could it be, discouraging could it be to companies that are willing to make capital investment?
Well, I think it could be very discouraging, but I guess I would point to a couple of cases here in Louisiana where companies like IMTT and PVL, the refining company down in Chalmette, have spent huge amounts of money gearing up to be able to do a little of everything. So if you want renewable diesel in California, they'll make that for you. If you want regular diesel in Louisiana, they'll make that as well.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time and the insights as always. We're going to take a break. We come back. Have you gotten a text message?